soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will
wonderful. Thank you, Brother Raley. And praise God, it sure won't lose its power, will it? Keeps me saved from day to day. It cleanseth, which is a perpetual cleansing. And great song. Take your Bible, if you would, Psalm 33, if you would, please. Psalm 33. We're going to do some responsive reading tonight. We're going to read Psalm 33, verse 8 through 22. And we're going to, remember, church, when we read together, we always pause a little bit at the punctuation so that we can attempt to stay together as we read. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of one nation under God. One nation under God. Let's stand together. Psalm 33. Begin reading with me in verse number 8. And we're going to pause at the punctuation marks, read verses 8 through 22. Let's read together. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. Now go back to verse 12 for our text verse tonight. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. One nation under God. Father, would you bless us now for the few moments that we have together? And Lord, we're thankful to be an American. We're thankful that you've raised up this country and allowed us to be here. Some were born here. Some came here later in life. But Lord, the most important thing is that we are one nation under God. And we ask now, please, that you'd continue to extend mercy, that you'd continue to extend favor toward America. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. On November the 11th, 1620, there was a group of men that signed a document called the Mayflower Compact. Now, regardless of what some of you young people may have been taught in the public system, the pilgrims that came to this country came for two reasons. First of all, they came for religious freedom. Secondly, they came for political freedom. Those are the two essence of why they came to this nation. And sometimes that's kind of being swept under the rug. But in November the 11th of 1620, the Mayflower Compact was signed, and it reads, having undertaken for the glory of God. Now you tell me whether these people had an interest in their faith. It started off, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereof, to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, and acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. Now you tell me what their intentions were. Their intentions when they came to this country was to settle a colony where Jesus Christ was preeminent. They escaped tyranny to get away from a country that was going a total different direction. This Mayflower Compact was signed by good men like John Carver, William Bradford, Edward Winslow, William Brewster, and Miles Standish, which are great men that have had a great impact on the history of our country. Another colony was settled on January the 14th, 1639, the colony of Connecticut. They put together a document called the Fundamental Orders. Here's some of the language of that colony's preamble. For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God, by the wise disposition of His divine providence. Now that sounds like they got God in mind, doesn't it to you? Then it goes on and says, and well knowing where a people are gathered together, the Word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union of such a people, there should be an orderly and decent government established according to God. Then it goes on to say, to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we now profess, as also the discipline of the churches, which according to the truth of the said gospel is now practiced among us. Kind of sounds to me that they had an intention in mind, and their intentions was to establish a colony where God was preeminent. And that there wasn't some hierarchy that was calling the shots and wanted worship more than the worship of God. As we move on in our history, we know that great men got together at the expense, many of them, of their own welfare and family, to put together and sign on July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence, declaring independence from Great Britain. I want you to listen, if you would, to the opening statement here. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Who do you think they had in mind when they put together that Declaration of Independence? Some of our forefathers, I want you to listen to what some of them said. John Adams, the second president of the, or John Adams, the second president and signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. John Adams said that. Thomas Jefferson wrote, our third president, said, God who gave us life, gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Sounds like a man that had his eye on the things of God. Thomas Jefferson also said this, made this statement. He said, I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. John Hancock, the first signer of the Declaration, said, resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Ben Franklin, who may have been the weakest among them as far as religious matters go, said this. He said, here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped. Now, folks, I could go on. I have all kinds of material here I could read for much longer than I want to stay here tonight, and I know that you want to stay here tonight. But I read these things to you tonight to let you know something most of you probably already knew, that America is a Christian nation. I don't care what our commander-in-chief says. It is a Christian nation. It was founded on Christian principles. It is today a Christian nation. It's the greatest Christian nation on the earth. If we're not careful, we'll lose what America and what we've represented for 236 years. You see, America is relatively a young nation. Today, we've celebrated her 236th birthday. It's been 236 years filled with trials, tests, conflict, war, blessings, revival. But may I say, it's been 236 years filled with most of all patriotism. You see, when America is involved in world competition, I want America to win. I don't feel sorry for anybody. You say, well, that's terrible. You ought to feel sorry for the people that finished second. Well, I want us to finish first. These upcoming Olympics, hey, it wouldn't bother me if America won every medal that ever gave that they gave out. I love America. I'm a patriot of her cause, her existence, and her liberty and freedom. I don't know about you, but I love America. I love the national anthem. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, my country, 'tis of thee, and God bless America. I love the North, I think, the South, the East, and West of America. I love the Statue of Liberty. I love the Liberty Bell. I love Washington, D.C., its monuments, the ancient documents, the Smithsonian Institute, and Arlington National Cemetery. I love the beauty of the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Gulf Coast. I love the majestic Rockies, the quietness of the Ozarks, and the serenity of the Smoky Mountains. I love our national parks, our national monuments, our national holidays, and our national pastimes. I love to hunt and fish and camp and hike in the beauty of her forests and lakes of America. I love our military and the young people who are serving around the world. I support them. I respect them. And you listen to me, I will defend them. You see, we wouldn't have today what we have today without the sacrifice of so many great people. People who believed in religious freedom as well as political freedom. People who carried a burden in their heart to create a nation where God was preeminent and the liberty of men was available to build a home free of tyranny. Our forefathers were brave men who saw the future and they saw what America could become. And they were willing to pay a high cost to preserve for us today the freedom that we enjoy. You ought to take the time out sometime and go read about what happened to each one of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence. Most of them, their homes and properties were burned. Some of them were even imprisoned. Some of them sacrificed their lives. But I want to say this, God began the process of the birth of America by sending a little small group of pilgrims who faced incredible odds of survival to sail to the eastern shores and establish a colony for the purpose of religious and political freedom. You see, the core group of these brave souls produced the great men that designed and orchestrated America's greatest documents, as I've read from the Declaration of Independence, the American Constitution and Bill of Rights. You see, these documents, church, were constructed with the principles of God's Word in mind. They included justice, judgment, and the teachings of Jesus Christ. You see, one cannot deny the documented history that the writings of our forefathers, that their heart's intent was to establish a nation whose God is the Lord. They believed, Psalm 33, verse 12, they believed that the blessings of God was with those whose God is the Lord. Now, unfortunately, Satan has cultivated an agenda to remove God from our nation, from our people, and from our culture. For our leaders to do this would be spit and slap and undermine our forefathers. Spit in their face, slap their face, and undermine the very foundation upon which our forefathers built and sacrificed. Do you know most of the people today that want to change America hadn't sacrificed anything? They haven't sacrificed financially. They haven't sacrificed spiritually. They haven't sacrificed emotionally or physically. And what they're trying to do is undermine men and women that literally gave their lives and their everything they had so that we could have freedom like we have today. We got people today trying to undermine the intent of our forefathers. I'm so sick of hearing the word intent, I could puke. Because that's the buzzword of modern politics today. Well, you don't understand what the intent was. I know what the intent was because they wrote it. They told us what the intent was. Their intent was to have God as preeminent in our lives and in the forefront of our country. Now, go back to Psalm 33. I've got about 10 minutes. And I want you to look at tonight what blessings are for a nation whose God is the Lord. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed, right? I'm part of this country. I'm part of this nation. I want to be blessed. What are the blessings for a nation whose God is the Lord? And by the way, I think for most of you that are new to Christianity, if you've been in church long enough, you understand the word Lord doesn't mean just God. It says whose God is the Lord, Master, Leader. He said it's not just believing in God, it's making God preeminent. I want you to look at several things here just for a moment about what blessings are for a nation whose God is the Lord. Look, if you would, in verse 13. After David writes and said, "Blessed is the name of the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Notice what he says, "The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their ways." I want you to circle several words. First of all, I want you to circle the word looketh in verse 13 and verse 14. I want you to circle the word beholdeth in verse 13. And then I want you to circle two words in verse 15, the word fashioneth and the word considereth. Because the blessings, church, for a nation whose God is the Lord is the presence of God. The presence of God. Notice the terminology that he uses here. He says, "The Lord looketh from heaven." You ever been sitting in a restaurant and you're eating there and you can tell someone's looking at you? And you just kind of feel that someone's looking at you? But you know, I've also been there and I've also been on the other side when you've been somewhere and it didn't seem like anybody cared to look at you. Now, listen, I'd rather have somebody looking at me than not looking at me, wouldn't you? And the scripture says, "The Lord looketh from heaven." That word looketh means his eyes are directed toward. And the reason its eyes are directed toward is because that it's a nation whose God is the Lord, who has kept him preeminent and in first place and has not dethroned him. Says he looketh, he directs his eyes toward. Then he uses the word, he beholdeth all the sons of men. That word behold means to observe. Listen now, or to see all. God sees all. He sees everything that you and I are doing, both publicly and privately. Listen to me, church. He sees what we're doing as well. He sees what we're standing on as far as a church and principles and ethics, character. It says a nation whose God is the Lord. He looks, his eyes direct, but he beholdeth, he observes. He sees all. In other words, he's looking at every detail. And then he uses the word in verse number 15, he fashioneth their hearts alike. That word fashioneth means to make or shape, to form. America is what we are today because of God Almighty. Listen, I have documented evidence. Our forefathers understood that. They understood that everything they were, listen, they even acknowledged the only reason they even made it to this country was by the grace of God. And matter of fact, if you go read the history of the pilgrims, most of them died in that first winter. Very few of them survived. They gave their life, and most of them didn't even live a year when they got here. Listen, the blessings of a nation whose God is the Lord is the presence of God. He looketh, he beholdeth, he directs his eyes toward, he sees all, he fashioneth, he makes shapes and forms. And then notice what it says in verse 15, he considereth all her works. Considereth is to take into account. Now folks, listen, to whom much is given. You listen to me, to whom much is given, much is required. And I'll just be honest with you tonight, I think America has stepped up. I think in our 236-year history, we have stepped up. We have fed most of the world. We have, listen, what other nation on the earth can go in and destroy an infrastructure and then pay to rebuild it? America does that. America seems to be the devil of the rest of the world. We seem to be, for some reason, this great Satan of the rest of the world, and yet we feed most of the world. And most of the dollars, most of the benevolent dollars that go around the world come from America. I'm just asking you, church, with whom do you feel safe? Do you feel safer in America, or would you feel safer in Iran? You say, well, I feel safer in America. Well, why? I'll tell you why. Because Iran doesn't acknowledge Christ, and America does. Iran despises Israel, and America doesn't. Listen, for now. But when we turn our back on Israel, you better hold the reins, my friend, because there's a wrath of God going to come upon this country like never before. You see, what blessings are for a nation whose God is the Lord? I'll tell you what they are. Number one, the presence of God. Number two, the protection of God. Look in verse 16. He says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. All right, then who's he saved by then? He's already set the precursor of who's in control, right? He said, a king thinks he's saved by a host? Ha ha! He's not saved by a host. He said, he's saved by my divine hand. He said, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. He said, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Listen, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You see, let me tell you what blessings come with a nation whose God is the Lord, the presence of God, but I want to say the protection of God. I'm here to tell you, you listen to me, in 236 years, America has never lost a war. Contrary to what some would tell you that we lost the Vietnam War, phooey. You say, was it a political war? Yeah, but America's never lost a war. You say, how is that so, preacher? Because as long as we keep God as the Lord and the Lord of our life and the Lord of our country. God's going to protect America. God's going to strengthen America. Listen, America has never been invaded by another country and overcome by another country. America is the most fruitful country in the world. America is the most benevolent country in the world. America is the most powerful country in all the world. You think God just flipped a coin and went, okay, blessings on America? No. You know why the blessings of God are on America? Because we chose them to be. You know why Iran doesn't have the blessings of God? Because they choose not. You know why Iraq chooses not to have the blessings of God? Because they choose that because of their own decision. You know why that most of the world chooses not to have the favor of God? Because they don't want to admit that God is the Lord and that He's the head and He's the creator. You see, America is what we are today because He is the Lord and worshiped as the Lord. So what blessings are for a nation whose God is the Lord? First of all, the presence of God. Secondly, the protection of God. Let me give you one more, and that is the provision of God. Look at verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. You see, I like the presence of God, I like the protection of God, but I also like the provision of God. Can I say that freedom still exists after 236 years? You know why? Because of the grace of God. Christ is still being preached after 236 years. Patriotism is still alive after 236 years. America is still being blessed after 236 years. Hey, listen, the American dream is still alive today more than it ever has been before. And people are trying to kill the American dream in America. Let me tell you something, my friend. The only reason we have the presence of God, the protection of God, and the provision of God is because America has made God its Lord. But I'm here to stay today. It may not always be that way. You see, there was a day, my friend, when the nation of England was the greatest nation on the earth. And the reason they were the greatest nation on the earth, because God was their Lord. But there came a day when they allowed people to get in places of power who did not believe that principle. And those people in places of power began slowly and very intricately pulling the rug out from the country of England. And as they began to pull the rug out, they pulled God out, they pulled the Bible out, they pulled churches out, and now England today is one of the most liberal atheistic countries on planet Earth. And folks, America is just a short distance from that. If we ever decide, God, You will not be Lord. We've got it all figured out, Lord. We no longer need You anymore. Thank You for the beginning. But can I say to you tonight, we need the protection of God. We need the presence of God, and we need the provision of God. And it's all to a nation who says, God, You're going to be Lord. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Christian. And let me tell you something. In just a moment, we're going to gather, if you wouldn't mind, in just a moment, an invitation. We're going to gather as a church around the altar and pray for our country. But as we pray, listen, we owe a great debt to some great people. We owe a great debt to some men and women who climbed aboard a little ship called the Mayflower and sailed from England to Holland, from Holland to the East Coast, and settled in America, looking for nothing more than religious freedom and political freedom. We have what we have today because of the beginnings of those people who, many of them, sacrificed their life. We owe a great debt. And let me tell you something, young people. We're raising up a generation that seems not to be concerned about the sacrifices of our forefathers. We ought to fall on our face every day and thank God that some people were willing to sacrifice. And if it wasn't, I'll just throw this in conclusion. If you know anything about World War II, if it wasn't for the divine hand of God, we'd all be speaking German today. And if you don't believe that, go check the history out. The divine hand of God moved. And we became the victors. The Allied forces became the victors, and Germany surrendered. All because of the divine hand of God. It was just a ploy of the devil. That's all it was. And an attack, listen, on God's people. And God says, no, we're not going to do that. And he stood up for a nation whose God is the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me tonight?